Well, amen. Good to be with you this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen. He is risen, isn't he? He has been risen from the grave in victory over death and has set us free. And so we celebrate that today. We gather together today for what Christ has done for us. That God so loved the world that he gave his son. And that his son came to pay the price of our sins. We want to reflect upon that a little bit today, and I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for many reasons, but obviously this is part of the resurrection scene. And so let me encourage you to turn there. We're going to read these verses here in Luke chapter 24 and focus our attention upon what Christ has done for us. And then throughout the rest of the message, we're just going to focus on the necessity and the advantage of the resurrection to us as believers. Let's pray first before we read. Father, thank you so much for your word. And as we open your word, we pray that through your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our eyes, that you would help us to understand and realize what Christ has done for us, the hope that we have in Christ and the power that we have, the power of resurrection. We thank you, Father, for our risen Savior, that you are the God of the living, you are the living God. And we praise you, Lord, for life that you have given to us. We commit this time to you. We ask, Father, that through your Spirit, that you would instruct us, but you would encourage us. I pray if there's one here that needs encouragement today. Maybe today they're going through a struggle in life, a difficulty. I pray today that you would speak to their heart, that you would breathe into them strength and power and hope, the hope that comes through Christ. I pray if there's one here that has never trusted Christ, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes to Jesus. I pray that you would show them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that through him we have access to a holy God. Open eyes, Lord, today and soften hearts and help us, Lord, as a result of listening to your word and thinking of these things. Help us to worship you and praise you. Help us to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to become even more like him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 24, listen to these words that Luke gives to us. This is after the crucifixion. You can go back and read the earlier chapters and read about the crucifixion of Christ, where he was crucified on the cross for your sins and my sins. Here, the first day of the week, that Sunday, that first day of the week after when the resurrection was to take place, it tells us, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, that is some of the women. They went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, because he was risen, right? Because he was risen. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Amazing. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must, that's an important word, I want you to, that's the word that captured my thoughts these last few days, must, it is necessary, it had to happen, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and must be crucified, and on the third day he must rise from the dead. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the rest, that is the disciples. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale. It's amazing, isn't it? The disciples that walked with Jesus, that heard the same teachings that he had taught, that he had told them that the Son of Man must be crucified and that on the third day he would rise again, to not be brokenhearted, not to be worried. "I have gone to prepare a place for you," Jesus said in John chapter 14. And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen clothes and they were by themselves. And he went home marveling. That's another important word that struck me this week. Marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Imagine, they're walking. Jesus asked them that question, "What is this conversation that you're having?" And they were so overwhelmed by what had taken place, they stopped and were sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. Marveled." You remember, they were marveling. "They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary'" there's that word, "'was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Man, I wish I would have been at that Bible study. I tell you, I thought about that again yesterday. I wish I had been at that instruction. He opened all the scriptures up from Moses through the prophets and all the writings of the Old Testament and showed them things about himself. And so they drew near to the village. Their eyes still don't know that this is Jesus, by the way. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Interesting. Made me think about, once again, the importance of the Lord's Supper. To encourage you, the next time we put in the announcements ahead of time that we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, that there is something special about that for us, but also how we partake of the grace of God. It was at the breaking of the bread that their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road while he opened up the scriptures to us?" And they rose that same hour. It's late at night, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amazing passage. Man, it's so loaded with significance and meaning for us. How it points to the sufficiency of Scripture, first of all. The idea that God has spoken to us through his word. We're here, Jesus is walking with these two individuals on the road to Emmaus. And what does he do but open up the scriptures to them? Doesn't just tell them a story. Doesn't just give them an analogy. But he goes back through the Old Testament, the scriptures, and he recounts over and over and over again all that the law and the prophets and the writings, the Psalms, the Proverbs, all these books had written about him. And that it was, don't miss it, necessary for these things to take place. I want to focus on that a little bit today. I want to focus on the idea, maybe look at these points as points of prayer, if we could do that this morning. The first point of prayer with the resurrection would be something like this: Lord, help us to understand the resurrection. Help us to understand the importance of it, the weight of it, the significance of it, how crucial it was, that it was necessary, that these things had to happen. It blows my mind as to why God chose this as the means of salvation for us, that Jesus would have to die a grueling death on a cross and that he would be raised from the dead, that this was necessary according to the plan of God, that our salvation, it is focused and fixed on this element, that God has offered a Savior for us, Jesus Christ, and he died for us, not for his sins, but for our sins. And the hope that we have is not just forgiveness in this life, but the hope that we have is eternal life. And that's represented in the idea that Jesus has overcome the grave. There's victory over the grave through Jesus Christ. As we were seeing, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was this. If there is no afterlife, there's no need of forgiveness. If there is nothing past this life, there's no need of forgiveness with God because there's no accountability. But there is accountability, isn't there? The Old Testament scriptures repeat over and over again the idea of the resurrection of the dead. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Look at the idea of accountability. All of us one day, as the writer of Hebrews will say, all of us one day will stand and give an account of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I thought about this passage, I was saying, Lord, help me understand the resurrection, the necessity of it, that it was necessary to fulfill the scriptures. First of all, Isaiah chapter 53. There's so many passages we could pick, but let me give you a few passages that were requiring Jesus to go through this, that foretold that Jesus would do this, that Jesus was fulfilling these things, as we saw back earlier with the idea of baptism. Jesus said to John the Baptist, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness. It's slated, it's written down, it must happen. And this was something that had to happen. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ was a major part of the plan for all of us, the necessity. Isaiah chapter 53. I want to say to you, when you think of Isaiah chapter 53, many times I think we just focus on the crucifixion. We just focus on the death. But there is life in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. There's life that we gain because of God through his Son cleansing us of our sins. But there's also this idea of the life of the servant of the Lord. There's victory in Isaiah chapter 53. Victory where he is allotted his part. You don't allot parts to dead people. You don't give an inheritance to somebody that's dead. Those that are alive get the inheritance. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53, at least in part, verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord, not the will of men, not just the will of Jesus, not just by accident, but this was the will of the Lord. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, shall see them. Dead people don't see. People that are alive see. Prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. Interesting. He makes us righteous. Paul would say, I want a righteousness that's not of my own, it's of the Lord. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. An inheritance. Again, I say to you, dead people don't get inheritances. People that are alive do. This individual dies and then he is alive again. He's raised from the dead and he is given a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his life to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes, I love that, not made. And makes intercession for the transgressors. Do you know that Romans tells us, the Apostle Paul says that he makes daily intercession for us? Christ today is praying on our behalf. The psalmist writes this, thinking of the necessity of the crucifixion and the resurrection. I have set the Lord always before me in Psalm 16. Always. because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells in security. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. That's the grave. It's not hell. It's the grave. It's the realm of the dead. It's the place of the dead. It's in the earth. You will not leave my soul in death or let your Holy One see corruption. No decay. You make known to me the path of life. Not death. Life. In your presence there is fullness of at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is at the right hand right now. You remember that Stephen in the book of Acts, they were stoning him, and he looked up to heaven. He saw Jesus standing next to the throne of God. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The psalmist in Psalm 22, you remember that Jesus on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. Listen to these words of the psalmist. This is why Jesus had to do this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. They say, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Verse 16, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They broke not one of them. You know, these are all reflected in the gospel accounts, right? They stare, they gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. In my clothing they cast lots. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship, he's our king, Christ. Because God has placed his king on Mount Zion. Psalm chapter 2. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus speaking to these individuals that asked for a sign in Matthew chapter 12. Remember they were saying, give us a sign that you are the Son of God. Give us a sign that you are the Messiah, that you're the hope of Israel. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees were saying to him, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But on the third day, can we add this? On the third day, it will be said, he is risen. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is no longer here. He is risen. Amen? We serve a risen Lord. It's necessary because of the scriptures, but it's necessary because of our salvation too. I pray that God would not only teach us the idea that the Old Testament scriptures tell us about Christ and his coming, the crucifixion and the resurrection, but that we would understand this is crucial to understanding our salvation, that Christ had to die and he had to be raised from the dead for us to enjoy the hope that we have in Christ, the salvation of our very souls. Listen to Paul, great passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the understanding of what the gospel is. But Paul says, for I deliver to you as of first importance. If you're trying to tell something to somebody about the Bible, you might want to start with what's most important. Here, Paul says, I told you this as of first importance, a priority that you need to know this. First important. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins, how? In accordance with the scriptures, right? That he was buried, how? In accordance with the scriptures. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Listen, this isn't just some blind hope that we have. We have documents hundreds and thousands of years ago that tell us this would happen. That Christ would come, that God would send a Messiah. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, God tells us that we need a Savior because Adam and Eve, through Adam, sin entered into mankind, and with that sin came death. But through Christ came life through the resurrection. Amen? Through Christ. Peter says it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, grace, the grace of God, the mercy of God, that he has caused us, that's the work of God, not that he's allowed us, not that he gave us the option, but that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. That little word through is a very important word. It shows the idea of agency. It shows the idea of means. It says, basically, it's through the resurrection that we have our hope. It's through the resurrection that we gain our salvation. Yes, forgiveness of sins took place on the cross, but our hope relies upon Jesus coming out of the grave. Paul says it this way, that he was declared the Son of God in power, how in Romans chapter 1? By the resurrection. How do we know that Jesus truly is the Son of God? Because he was raised from the dead. How do we know that our sins have been truly forgiven by Christ? How do we know that his atonement for our sins was accepted by God? Because God raised him from the dead. It's the verification of our salvation. God's grace and mercy. Paul, once again in 1 Corinthians 15, tells us how important this is to not only our salvation, but our hope. Listen, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Listen, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, we might as well just go home. We might as well just go camping. We might as well just go hiking. Might as well just go on vacation. Might as well just sit at home. Might as well do whatever you want to do. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, our faith is useless. Listen to Paul says. Because you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Those that you know that have trusted Christ, they're just dead. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, they're just dead. They're just gone. They no longer exist. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied. If your relationship with Jesus only gets you through this life but doesn't get you into the next, you're to be pitied. If you're living for Christ just because of what he gives you in this life, you are of all people to be most pitied because the next life is eternal. Eternal. Lord, help us to understand the resurrection. Secondly, second part of the prayer would be this. Lord, help us to believe and proclaim the resurrection. Help us to believe. Well, you say, well, Terry, it's easy to believe. It's not easy to believe. Did you not read in this passage here a few times that individuals did not believe? Individuals that had walked with Jesus, I would say individuals that knew the Old Testament much better than any of us probably, had read it in the original languages, had read it over and over again, had many portions of it memorized, yet they did not believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Chapter 24, the angels say, remember how he told you. Remember. Man, we forget so easily, don't we? And that's why you have to constantly read the Word of God. Constantly read the Word of God. Did you know that numerous times Jesus had told them of these things? In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, I don't have this passage for up on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 16, you remember that story there? It's the great confession of Peter. You know, who do men say that I am? And they say, you know, a prophet or one of the other prophets of the Old Testament or somebody else that's great. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say, amen, Peter, right? And Jesus informs him, that's not of you, Peter. It's not of flesh and blood. How blessed are you that my Father has revealed this to you? And in every one of those passages, after that takes place, it tells us, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Must. There's that word again. Necessary. That he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and must be killed on the third day and raised from the dead. And you remember the response of Peter. Lord, far be it from you to go through this. No, no way. We will not let that happen. And Jesus says to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for you have a mind for the things of man and not the things of God. Necessary. Necessary. To believe, we need the grace of God upon us to open our eyes. These disciples, these women come back and tell the disciples, and it's like idle tales to them. It's like a fairy tale to them. Yet Jesus had been with them for 3 years, telling them again and again and again, the Son of Man must die and must be raised from the dead. Man, they about stoned him to death one time when he said that he was going to raise up his body. He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up on the third day. And they were going to kill him for it. And yet we find the disciples wavering in their faith. Why? Because they needed God to open their eyes. And we should be praying, God, help us to believe. Help us to believe and help us to proclaim. Help us to be like the response of Martha. Remember that Jesus came to her and said, your brother shall live. Do you believe this? And Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe this. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, all those that believe in me, though he die or she die, yet shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to the Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Yes, we believe, don't we? We believe that he is the one that was in the beginning with God, who is God, who came in human flesh to this earth and took upon himself human flesh, became a man, although sinless, but took upon himself sin. He walked upon this earth for you and for me. We believe that, don't we? We believe that because of the grace of God, because he's opened our eyes to understand who Jesus Christ truly is. You know, this early church in the book of Acts, they believed. These are the same guys in the book of Acts, the early part of Acts, are the same individuals that earlier are in disbelief. Now they are filled with power through the Holy Spirit. And we see a difference in them. We see those that were hiding. They were hiding before, but now they're proclaiming the truth. Acts chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power.
I love that, don't you? It's such a contrast from the end of the Gospels. They're, at the end of the Gospels, they're just looking, where's Jesus? Oh, he's going to leave us. He says, wait for me. You'll be filled with a promise from on high. You'll be given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they begin to preach the great power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. With great power. Listen, with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony. Listen, their testimony was not about them. Once again, as I was reading through these passages these last couple of days and thinking about this especially today, yesterday and today, this idea of a testimony. So many times in Baptist churches, I've heard testimonies, and it's all about me, 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 me. Their testimony was about Christ. Not about what I did, but about what Christ did. Listen, and they were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was their testimony? Not just, he saved me from my sin, but it was the follow-up, and he's coming back again. He's already been raised from the dead, and he's going to raise me up one day, for that same power that raised Christ is going to raise me. Amen? Yeah, testimony. Don't leave that out of your testimony. Yeah, tell people about your sin. Tell people that you came to the understanding that you needed a Savior, that that Savior was provided through Christ Jesus, that he cleansed you, that he washed you, that he died for you. But don't leave out the idea that he was raised from the dead and that he's coming back again. Coming back. Paul, speaking to King Agrippa, I love this. He's on trial. Paul, part of his speech in verse 22 of chapter 26. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. I love that. How did Paul endure all his hardships? Well, he found that God was right. My grace is sufficient for thee. And he says,
To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass. I love that, don't you? Paul says, I've just been telling you all of the scriptures of the Old Testament, what Moses and all the prophets told us was going to happen. I've just simply been telling you scripture. Paul, why do they want to kill you? Because I've been telling them scripture. Paul, why do they dislike you? Why did they not like your message? Because I'm telling them scripture. I've been speaking what the prophets and Moses said would come. Moses talked about this. Deuteronomy 18. That God was going to send a prophet that would be the prophet of all prophets. Yes, Moses and the prophets. That the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people, that's the Jews, and to whom? And to the nations, the Gentiles. You mean to tell me that the Old Testament had a teaching that God was going to raise up the Gentiles? Yes, it did. Did not God give the promise to Abraham of your seed? It will be a blessing to all the nations. I tell you, God's always had a plan for the nations. Every tribe and tongue and people. God has a plan for us. We need to be asking God, help us believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And help me proclaim the resurrection of Christ. Thirdly and finally, Lord, help us to be amazed about the resurrection. Help us to be amazed. It's Easter. The resurrection. Yeah, we've been through this. If you're one that has to teach or preach quite often, then you recognize every time you come around this time of year, it's like, okay, I've been doing this for 20-something years now. What passage am I going to use now? And there's a little bit of the amazement that can disappear from your teaching. We need to ask God to help us be amazed again by the resurrection. Not only that Christ was raised from the dead, but that he's the first fruit. That we will be raised just like him. Think about this as we think about the teaching from Scripture. Here, Peter ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, what? Marveling, amazed. Could it be? Could it be true? Oh, Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? Man, they were marveling. Wow. They were saying, wow. Did you know Moses was talking about that? Man, did you know that Jonah was talking about that? Man, did you know the Psalms were about that? About Jesus? Wow. Marvel. Like Mary. Shepherds come and tell them the things about this one that's to be born to her. That was born to her. That he will be the salvation of the people. And Mary, what? Treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She marveled over them. Could it be? 1 Peter, listen to this. I love this passage because it reminds us that even angels look into these things that we see and are amazed. Listen to this. Peter writing here, speaking about these things. And these things that we have now been announced to you through the preached word of the good news to the Holy Spirit, that things that even the angels themselves look into. Angels look into these things that we have been made known by the word of God, and they long to understand why Christ would die for us. The love that is so amazing that God would become a man and die in our place for our sins. Angels are amazed by it. You know that angels rejoice over one lost soul. It's amazing. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus and his miracles. Remember that he spoke to the wind and the seas? And they began to, in chapter 8, verse 27, and they marveled. What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Marveled. Amazed. Or Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus heals one that has demon possession. And the demon had been cast out, the mute man began to speak, and the crowds marveled. They were amazed. And they were saying, never was anything like this seen in all of Israel. Never has there been anything like the resurrection. Never has there ever been anything like one like Christ who would come and take upon himself the sin of the world and die in our place. Never, never, never has such love ever been expressed by anyone other than God himself. That God loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never. That he who knew no sin would become sin. That he would humble himself, Philippians chapter 2, and he would come down from heaven, humble himself even to the point of death, and death on a cross? Christ? Never has there been anything such of such amazement as that. Never has there ever been anything as amazing as Christ raised from the dead. Oh, there were other resurrections in the Old Testament, but they died again. Not Christ. He lives forever. He is our amazing Savior, isn't he? Let me give you a challenge this morning. Just a reminder from Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Faith, not works. Trusting in Christ only. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Not just understand it, not just know about it, but I may experience the power of the resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, the power of the resurrection. God, help us to know the power of the resurrection. Amen? Help us. Father, we lift ourselves up to you this morning, praying that you would help us to understand, praying that you'd help us to believe, help us to proclaim. Father, would you help us to marvel once again at the great work that you have done in sending Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray once again, Lord, if there's one here that has never trusted Christ, that today would be the day that you would open their eyes. Today would be the day that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be cleansed of their sins, to be saved, to have a right relationship with you, to know the hope of all eternity in the resurrection of Christ. And so we praise you today for our risen Savior, that he is alive, he is making intercession for us, and we praise you, Lord, that one day he's coming back for us. And all God's people would say, amen.